When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
One thing that was really fascinating was when we were up in the graveyard scene and we were doing the pas de deux, dance between two people, Tom Hooper comes up and he says, "I don't understand what this means."
Guy, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Guy, you ready? I really like having two guys. Like, you make a big deal of it, but like
you make a big deal.
I know I make a big deal, but that's what I was supposed to say. I said the wrong thing. I enjoy it. At school, you know how there's like 12 guys called Matt and 75 girls called Sarah.
Yeah,
I wish that was me, and then one of us could have a nickname.
I liked being the only guy.
No, I wanted to be part of a team.
I called you G Dubs when I was referring to you before we came in. Do you like that?
Not really. Oh, no, I don't care. I'll
take it. Your dream. Two guys, you got a nickname.
Yeah, the G-dubs are very dated sort of. It's like from the 50 Cent era of comedy, which you're a long way off there, man.
Certainly.
Yeah. G-mizzle would be a better, up to the joke.
Okay. Meow, 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 meow.
Welcome to Our Week with Cats. Timbert and Guy Montgomery go to the film version of Cats, made in 2019 by Oscar award-winning director Tom Hooper, 7 days in a row. Today we were joined by a special guest comedian and the star of truly the greatest comedy TV show made in this country of the last decade, Guy Williams.
Thank you so much for saying that. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I'm a big fan. Did this guy actually win an Oscar?
Yep.
What for?
Can't remember.
The King's Speech.
Oh, sick.
Think it got Best Film? Or he got Best Director?
Was that Best Film?
Yeah.
I'm fine with the King's Speech. I've got to stop talking shit, but... No, it's better than anything I've ever done, isn't it? But, like, that's not the best film of a year.
You're not competing with the King's Speech.
I feel like I am. What do you talk shit about it?
Do you feel like you're competing with everything?
A little bit, yeah.
But I mean, it's absurd to think that you, someone who's never made a movie, is in any way competing with the Academy Award Best Picture winner.
Well, I'm just saying I look like a dickhead if people look at my shitty TV show that I made and compare it to the King's Speech. Like, King's Speech is 50 times
I think
better.
Those are probably different audiences.
No, I think that's a bit like crossover.
The King's Speech was 2010, and I'm just trying to see what it beat out to win that.
I was making awful TV in 2010, loving it.
Do you reckon what you were producing in 2010 was better than the King's
Speech? No, that's why I'm being careful as to what I say.
Gotcha.
I don't think it's contentious to say that the King's Speech didn't deserve to win Best Picture at the Oscars. You don't need to backpedal on that.
Okay.
And also, we aren't fucking here to talk about the King's Speech.
Hey, Guy Williams, I know this about you. You quite like a musical, eh?
Love it. Yeah. Yes. I'm a big fan of the musical Wicked. I watched it multiple times in Australia and New Zealand.
Same.
I love Hamilton. I've seen that twice.
Nice.
I love, even Shitters.
In fact, I
like Phantom of the Opera.
I remember when you got back from a trip from the States and you told me that you had seen Hamilton. And I just said, I was shocked. I was like, how in God's name did you get to see Hamilton? And
yeah.
I remember what you said to me. You said, Tim, the thing about America is if you have money, you can do anything.
Yeah. Wow. It's like someone's remembered something I've said before. Yeah, that ticket was so expensive. So expensive. But it was worth it for Hamilton, so good.
I went to it in London recently, and I was like, man, so good.
How do they do this? How do they learn all the lines? That's my first question.
It's their job. It's their job, guys.
Imagine doing it it 7 times a week, 8 times a week. It blows my mind.
That's how you learn the lines.
Yeah, that's one of the most surefire ways to learn the lines.
Have you seen Peter Steph comedy? I've been doing the same jokes for 8 years, and I can't remember most of them. Like, it's just crazy.
Your jokes aren't catchy like the fucking song. you've got a better chance of learning those songs than any of those performers would have of remembering one of your jokes.
No, I disagree.
I actually, do you know, I often remember with Joseph Moore, him and I often reminisce about some of your first jokes.
Wow.
I've told you this before.
That's a real lovely compliment. Thank you.
No worries. One of them was about Up and Go.
Yeah.
There's a very bad milk drink in New Zealand called Up and Go, which is meant to be like two Weet-Bix, which are sort of a wheat-based cereal, good high
man,
in fiber.
This joke is not going to work. So much explaining to nail a punchline that's not even that good.
I had an Up and Go for breakfast this morning, which is great. Up and Go is just like a regular breakfast. If your regular breakfast is a disgusting flavoured cup of milk.
Yeah. Thank you. Joke. Oh, thank you. Oh, that really means... Oh, this has been so lovely, guys. I've already loved being on the podcast.
Have you ever seen Cats put on live?
Yes, multiple times. Well, one of the first songs... Why are you laughing at this?
I didn't know that.
I was a kid, and I was like 7 or 8 years old, it was one of the first songs I even remember remembering, which was Magical Mr. Mistopheles.
I thought you were going to say memories. That would have been the perfect to say. I remember remembering memories.
Yeah. Magical Mr. Mistopheles, we put it on. The kid who did Highland dancing at school was Magical Mr. Mistopheles. He danced around stage, and some kids ran out the end and poured some water on some dry ice and went smoke, and it... The crowd went nuts. It was awesome. That killed. I can't remember what role I was. I think my role was just stand off the side of the stage. And I remember that my number one role
That's
of my role.
Not a role.
My number one role was don't touch the dry ice. That's what the teacher told us. Just don't. And I remember being so scared of dry ice because you touch it and it burns your hand off or something. Yeah, it's pretty
they
bad.
They use it to remove warts.
Yeah. But like imagine whole chunks of it and some guy stole it from his dad's work at Sea Lords or something. It was
That's
amazing.
So good.
Yeah.
This was in Nelson, obviously, which is not a small town, but it's not a big town either.
It's a pretty small place, 50,000 people. But then I saw my brother do it in amateur theatre production.
Was he Mr. Mistopheles?
He was I'm embarrassed. I can't remember who he was.
What I wouldn't give to have Paul Williams on this podcast, the guy who's actually been in Cats.
No, well, he remixed it into a hip hop beat once, and it's genuinely one of my favorite rap songs of all time.
Awesome.
My brother's remix of I think the Railway Cat song,
Skimbleshanks.
He sings it from the perspective of a rap from the perspective of Skimbleshanks. I think is genius, and genuinely think the song is good.
I don't doubt it. Paul's a very talented musician.
Fuck, Paul's a talent. Wish he was here.
Yeah, I wish Paul was here as well.
So you watched your brother perform in an amateur theatrical company performance of it.
Yes.
And how was that? How was that experience?
I love the song Memories, and I like a few of those songs. And
you rightly scolded us when we were giggling when Memories started. You were right to do so.
There was a lot of people in the cinema.
Yeah, man.
And I'm like, there's kids behind us, yes. And they're like living their dream and enjoying it. I love the song Memories, and... genuinely like a few songs that I really enjoy, but it's a shambolic show. When you see it for the first time, it is like, you're like, what is that? Like, because at least in the movie they tried to string it together a little bit. In the musical, they just, it's just one cat after another just walks out, sings the weirdest song you've ever heard and then disappears, and you're like, what does that have to do with anything?
You think that the experience is enhanced by them sort of loosely being like, well, here's the reason that these songs and Cats exist?
Yeah, well, I a little bit. Honestly, I liked that Grisabella came back. Maybe she does that in the musical. I can't really remember. Because Cats, I would say, is one of my most hated musicals. But it's also one of the most successful in the world, right?
So, to be clear, you do really like the song Memories, but you don't like the show overall.
No, it's a shocking... You've seen it.
Yeah, I hate
I've got
it.
Eyes. All
well,
right.
I've seen the film, and I think... Andrew Lloyd Webber's weirdest stuff, like Moonlight Express, is it what it's called? The one on skates?
Oh, I'd love to see that.
And this, and they're just like, they're super crazy and not in a good way, just in a like, it's too confidently wrong way. But it works because he's such an amazing composer.
Have you seen Midnight Express? I'd love to see that.
I've not, But I heard a lot of very, very, very extremely damning reviews when it came to New Zealand.
Yeah, and why would you not watch that? So I played in the Basel Stadium, where we got kicked out of the Basel Stadium, had to play games in Porirua, like out of the town, because they were
Converted it to an ice rink, right?
To a roller skating rink.
Oh,
yeah.
Roller skating. Oh,
and okay, like, I talked to people who worked at the venue, and they were like, it was chaos. Like, guys would come out on roller skates, singing, full pace, and just like miss the turn, because New Zealanders aren't good at roller skating, so we don't have ice rinks or anything like that, and just go off the stage. Like, there was serious injuries. Who wouldn't pay to want to see that? That's so good.
And it's all like, I think, aren't they trains? Isn't that the whole idea of the show?
It's train, roller skate, train, speed.
Pixar's lifted a lot from Andrew Lloyd Webber. And I will say this, that the people who are paying tickets to go and see the Midnight Express, they're not paying to see the version of the Midnight Express that you want to see.
I don't know, man.
Honestly, it's like, I just love like crazy ideas. And like these ideas, you got to admit, it's just someone who's got so powerful in their career.
Yeah.
They're just like, I'm going to do something ridiculous. And they've failed, but they've failed spectacularly, I think.
It's incredible that Cats was a success to me, because it is just so fucking odd.
Not just a success, it's the most successful musical of all time, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
It certainly was for a time. I don't know.
No, I think it is. I think
what would have topped it? Like, in terms of length of being on,
I believe it holds both records of being the most Tony awarded musical ever, and the longest continuous run on Broadway.
Yeah.
I don't know that those facts are accurate, because when I read the blurb that they provide you in the cinema, it mentions it's got an incredible length.
I have that on me
right now.
Incredible
amount of awards.
Wow, Tim has just pulled out the pamphlet. Where'd that come from?
Since opening in 1981, Cats, I love the way they've phrased this as well. Cats has amazed, surprised, and excited fans and critics alike. The stage musical, inspired by the poems of T.S. Eliot, set to iconic music composed by Andrew Lloyd Webber and performed by a tribe, quote, of cats, blah, 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 blah. More than 81 million people in over 50 countries and 19 languages. Winner of 7 Tony Awards, including Best Musical. Oh, you're right, guy. Cats became one of the longest running shows in the West End.
Oh, it must have been knocked off by Phantom of the Opera, right?
It's done remarkably well, particularly when you think about what it is. But it is... I had a really wonderful first 4 days, and the worm turned yesterday, and now I feel like I'm now seeing the version of Cats that everyone else who we've been to the movies with is seeing, like all of the reviewers saw.
Yeah.
I'm now watching Cats as it's being absorbed by, you know, the majority of its audience.
All right. Well, if I may ask, could you just pump the brakes on that guy? Because I'd like to hear other guy, unfettered and filtered and uncolored. And untarnished. We haven't really spoken since we got out of the cinema about the film.
No, we went out of our way not to mention it.
You wrote screeds of notes, which I love.
Yeah.
And sorry if I'm blowing up your spot by revealing
I couldn't read what I wrote either.
I
wrote a lot of things. Mm.
What'd you think, man?
I thought it was great.
Yeah?
Yeah. And it's a weird thing to say. And no. I don't know if this is because my expectations were stone cold low because I'd read all the bad reviews or seen all the... I hadn't read anything, but just seen all the hate.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed it, I think. Like, because I think life is a function of expectations. I normally only go to films that get good scores on Metacritic. I'm an arsehole. I'm embarrassed I said that out loud. But... you know, like, and
we've
I'm
got
always,
limited days on the earth, mate.
I'm often disappointed. When it gets like over 80, you're like, this is going to be great. And sometimes it lives up to expectation massively.
Yeah.
And then other times, like even Parasite, which people love this year, right?
Yeah.
Like compared to the hype, where I heard it got an 8-minute standing ovation or something.
Yeah.
I was like,
it can though.
It's a great movie.
Weird.
I enjoyed it. But like, you know, like it can't live up to that expectation. And I was like, Cats, my expectation was floor low. And when I got in there, it took 10 minutes to like get used to the weird cats. And the terrible CGI. Well, no, the CGI is actually kind of impressive, but like how they ruin great dancing with weird CGI.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a while to get used to that. And then once I was over there, I was like, hey, this is a kids' film.
Yeah.
And what I really like about it is when I was a kid, kids' films were bizarre and like really weird. Does anyone remember a show called H&R Puffin Stuff?
Yeah.
And like there's so many things that when I was a kid that were haunting.
Yes.
That were like really weird. And this was kind of haunting.
Yeah.
In the way that like more things need to be.
Yeah, because Pixar and DreamWorks, I feel, took the shine off of that genre of kids' movies.
Yeah, because they nail it. Yeah.
They do. They nail it, and everything's quite cute and like not confronting.
They improve, Pixar kind of took that away because they improved the quality of kids' movies.
Do you remember what Guy's talking about, Monty? Like
yeah,
when we were growing up, there was a bevy
shocking stuff
of like all of them, which which, and a lot of them were practical effects, prosthetics, people in rubber suits, that sort of thing, where there was, I don't know if that's quite Uncanny Valley, but it was quite horrifying.
Yeah.
And they were doing,
well,
like,
it was genuinely grotesque, some of it.
Yeah.
Which is, and this sort of ties in with what you were saying before about you like a big failure. And this movie is a big failure, which does heighten the experience because it's, I have never looked at it through the framework of purely being a children's movie.
Okay, for a start, I'm really excited when you go, this ties in what you've said before, because no one's ever said that to me. I'm like, excited. I've said, no, good. But I didn't say that. I didn't say it was a big
failure,
did I?
No, I think you're a bit off the mark.
No, you were talking about big failures. But it's like to see a big spectacular failure.
Yeah, I'd enjoy that.
You didn't consider this a big failure, though, it sounds like.
Well, it's probably, I just was shocked. When we walked in, I was hoping we'd be the only ones in the cinema.
Yeah.
It's 3:45 in the afternoon. I'm like, it's going to be empty and we can have a talk and laugh and
sing along.
Yeah. And we got in there, I was just so gutted because there was heaps of people in there. I was like, oh, I'm going to sign up through the whole thing. There's little kids. There's an old lady by herself. How cute is that?
There's a lot of that. And it makes me sad every time we go in because there's always at least one or two.
But, like, okay, once I got over all the weird things and stuff like that and going, is there something wrong with me? It was, like, great all the way through pretty much. The trailer really took all the, because I see the trailer when it came out on Twitter, that took all the bad stuff out. And I was like, I love that Taylor Swift was the villain. I am not a big James Corden fan, but thought he was, like, acceptably fine.
I thought he was quite good, personally. I've been lauded, because I don't like him personally. I've heard some horrible things about the man, but yeah. I think his performance is great.
Yeah. I'm not always a big Corden fan, but the whole film, just like, yeah, I thought it was all good. I thought the main lady was so beautiful. I'm not saying, like, I'm attracted to the cat thing or anything like that. It's
no,
a bit weird.
Francesca Hayward, she's like astonishingly beautiful.
Horrific role. It's just like her, like, looking amazed over and over again, cut away of her amazed, by things that aren't that amazing, which can often be accidentally funny. But I enjoyed that element as well. But yeah, I just thought it was all pretty fine. I actually got angry halfway through because I was like, imagine how good this could have been if it was live action, real dancing.
Right.
And I just love dancing and singing on stage.
See, it was so close to that.
Yeah.
If they had have just done practical costumes, like basically just filmed the stage show but in a movie set.
Yeah, yes.
You know?
It could have been amazing.
Could have used the same people even, same cast. What did you think of Judi Dench and the gender flip of Old Deuteronomy?
I did not really. I didn't remember that Old Deuteronomy was supposed to be a man. Supposed to be a man! That'd be a funny thing to get.
That'd be just the kind of thing to get Guy Williams riled up.
Did not know. Only noticed at the end when she said she referred to a cat just as a him in the song. That was the only time I thought it was weird. I was like, you need to make it rhyme. And they couldn't rewrite two words, so they just left the him in so the next word would rhyme as well. So has everyone else's experience been of it bad?
Yes. I think that would be fair to say.
Largely, but...
I think exclusively.
Well, no, Joseph enjoyed himself. There are positives to be... Like, Joseph specifically said he enjoyed Cats on the second screening.
Me and Joseph are weird people, though. We're contrarians, though, like, we're a little bit. And I'm the whole time I was worried, am I just trying to like this? So I don't know. I don't want to recommend the movie to anyone and have them go and hate it. But, like, if it's some little kids... because it helped those kids behind us who were, like, whispering things and, like, worried about the bad guy.
Were they were on board, eh?
They were loving it. And they were, like, they saw it when the actors said one thing, but they meant the other thing. They were loving it. But it's just a bunch of nonsense on screen. I love it.
It just cost a bit too much. If you had gone, this is a kid's film, and we're going to make it for 30 mil instead of 100.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have the digital fur technology, which is...
I actually thought the digitally D was cheaper.
Hey?
I thought it's going to cost so much for camera moves and dancing and the celebrities they had. Like, Taylor Swift would have banged that out in, like, 2 days.
Yeah.
Whereas if it was live action, she would have had to be there for weeks.
They basically invented a new technology to pull that fur stuff off. It was kind of like how, you know, Peter Jackson pretty much invented 60 frame per second 3D for The Hobbit, and everyone was just horrified at how it looked.
And forced perspective.
He's also a master of force perspective. And he did invent that. Yes, correct.
Is force perspective having someone at the front who's big?
Closer to the camera, yes.
That's good too, man.
I think it would have cost, you know, the first market mover, the market leader, it costs a lot of money to be the first person to invent something. And then everyone else can kind of get in the wake of that. But that was where I think a lot of the money went to. Also, that cast.
It looks like the prototype version of the technology, which is in the finished product.
I don't know, man. It's not... Nah, it is bad. It's going to defend it.
I don't know.
Here's the thing. When it's close up, it's actually sweet as. Mm. It's when it's in the mid shots and...
When you see the whole cast. Their feet, their feet are never touching the ground.
Their feet didn't touching the ground was something. That was the one floor I noticed. Besides that, it was floors. Is there an obvious racial problem with the woman? Because the lead actor is African heritage.
Ethnically African, yeah.
And then they've made her white.
Yeah,
that's
so
weird.
The character is Victoria the White Cat, like in the Broadway musical and everything.
It's so crazy that you'd think you have to abide that. In the universe,
like the rules of cats, it's important.
Yeah, but it is like they didn't need to cast everyone the way they did, because it's like everyone who is bad is portrayed by a black person in this, like a black cast member, and everyone who is good is either white or Victoria, who they whiteface.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And I was really, it was a real mind if at the end, because I was a little bit worried how Victoria, who is a brown woman but is white. She is like a white savior at the end there, where she saves the brown lady who's homeless or whatever.
Yes, Grisabella.
But then I was like, this is like white savior. But then I was like, no, she's actually brown doing whiteface. So I was confused. I was trying too hard.
You can really just put yourself in the boardroom as that conversation was taking place amongst the fucking creative team of cats. I'd love to know, Guy, because throughout the movie, there are still songs that I'll fuck with, and like Jellicle Cat still gets me going.
These are great songs.
I'm pretty much down to three songs, but when they come on, they do give me, like, I'm just getting through an album where there are three songs I like and a bunch that I don't now.
Yeah.
And that's okay, but throughout the movie, consistently, and at moments that didn't quite, I couldn't synchronize with like a through line or reason, you would look to me over your shoulder and you sort of break out a big smile, and then you reassuringly nod, like, yeah, now they're doing it.
It brought me so much joy to periodically look over at you, Guy, and just see you with a big smile on your face.
Yeah, I don't.
And the recognition and everything was like, fuck yeah, Guy Williams is enjoying this, and I love that.
Yeah, I should have watched it without you guys, though, because it created this weird paradigm. Like, where was I trying too hard to like it or something like that? It's hard to tell.
I got chills.
Multiple times. I get chills quite easily in a lot of films.
When did you get chills?
Chills. Obviously memories. Like home when she goes, love me. When she goes big. Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
And then there was a few other bits that they might write some new songs I didn't recognize for this
were
Ghosts. Few bits. Yeah, just,
you got chills on Ghosts?
I can't remember what
Ghosts
was.
So it sounds like you got chills once in the moment.
No, I promise you, I got multiple chills in the first one. I was like, what is happening here?
I know you were there for Skimble Shanks, the railway cat.
Yeah, I thought he was a standout. I thought that guy and his tap dancing, and again, it would be so much more impressive to see him just do real tap dancing no CGI.
I mean, you did, though. This is the problem, because like you actually are seeing the artistry. It's just, it's being a little bit fumbled, but you are seeing that performer do that incredible performance.
And they do give that tap dancer like a close up, and he's wearing long trousers over the shoes, which suggests that
they're not CGI. We're just looking at human legs.
They fuck with the levels, but you're pretty much just watching a close up of that guy tap for a while.
They do fuck it up with the perspective thing, though, where they're like, they're in the stage and they're one very distinct size, and then they're on the railway bridge and they're tiny.
Oh, the shapes are,
and then
the
they
sizes.
Do the wide, and then suddenly they're as big as humans. Yeah, it's all very.
That was a very annoying part of the film, the way the sizes changed, and how Ian McKellen had a massive button on his jacket, but his jacket was a normal jacket.
Man, good pull, because I've noticed that as well, and it's like, I get it. It's like the Borrowers, like you're trying to make this cutesy out
the
of
Borrowers.
Size
there's another haunting children's weird thing. Like so many haunting.
The Borrowers was fantastic.
Brum was haunting. Do you remember Brum? Haunting.
Brum was charming.
Brum was so scary.
You crave television, which makes less sense.
No. It was just like a nice nostalgia blast. I won't want to watch it every day, but just I enjoy the ridiculous stupidity of it. So people criticizing this film, it's like, it feels a bit weird, because it's like, let's just go, this is for 13 and below, and like a bunch of adults on Twitter shitting on
It's not the way the movie was marketed, though. They didn't know their audience. And also, for a movie that's exclusively for 13 and below, they have made it fucking horny.
I didn't think it was that horny.
Are you shitting me, dude?
I enjoyed the love triangle, and I like that she, I guess, at the end, she's
what was
with
the love triangle?
Mr. Mistopheles, the main guy, and her.
What
do you mean, what was the love triangle?
No, six times. The main guy isn't into
it.
He's not in that.
Yeah, he is.
Monkey Strap?
Okay, yeah, Monkey Strap. What a great name. Okay, so
Monkstrap.
I don't know.
It's something like that.
Robert Downey Jr. the third.
Okay.
You don't say junior.
Robert Downey Jr. Jr.
Who is that? Who that is? Who is
yeah, that? It's no, just it's, some guy.
We've he's named him Robert Downey the Third because he looks a bit like Robert Downey Jr.
Doing, as a cat.
Are you doing in call back jokes to podcasts that I haven't listened to or haven't been released yet?
You got it, guy.
Okay, I'll appreciate it later.
His name's Robbie Fairchild.
Okay.
But anywho, so did you interpret that as yes. a
okay,
love
there's
interest?
A way that children's movies and every movie work, and that is the woman drops into the film at the start of the film like she did, and they meet the first man they meet is who they're romantically involved with, and it's always the alpha male, the main leader of the pack, and those are the two people that get together. Definitely not magical Mistopheles, the loser freak magician who can't even execute the most basic of magic tricks and has stitched on cat-sized buttons onto his hat and jackets, even though old mate has a big button. The button sizes were out of control. Yeah, I'm sorry. So, but
I didn't interpret any kind of romantic inclinations.
I've never read any... For how sexual the movie is, I've never read any chemistry. I honestly think of Robbie Fairchild. Yeah, Robbie Fairchild, or whatever we want to call him, as an ace. I think he's asexual. I don't think he's... I think he facilitates others, but he's not interested in himself.
No, I just don't think he cares for Victoria, which I think is cool because in this Victoria is like a kitten. Whatever that means in this world.
Oh,
and I think Mark Strapp is like an adult. 19.
Oh, fuck.
How old is she what?
What in real life?
She's 28.
Francesca?
Yeah.
No.
I'll bet you $20 right now.
This is dangerous because so I think I've got $20.
Also, are you hoping
will
that
you take
she's
the
19?
Bet?
Like,
I'll take the bet. Yeah, I'll take the bet.
I looked her up.
Francesca.
He's not going to get it wrong, Tim.
I know. I don't know what I'm doing. But he goaded me into it. I can't back down
for it.
Oh, fuck, you're right. She's 28.
Yeah.
Well, that feels healthier.
Born in Nairobi. Yeah, you're right.
But then she was into Jason Derulo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Were you into Jason Derulo?
No. Jason Derulo was pathetic, and I'm a big Jason Derulo fan. I listened to him on the Spotify, and went to see him recently at a concert in Auckland and enjoyed him and his incredibly sexual dancing. And not really him, it's more of his backup dancers. He doesn't do a lot. But the dancing in that was poor. Piss poor.
What do you think of the Runtime Tugger?
Like the character.
The song itself and the character.
Bad. Like, edit that bit out. Like, they should have shortened down the movie a little bit, like, for what it is.
You could have lost about a chorus and a verse from every song, I think. Just
It started a bit slow, and and the cockroaches, and the comedy's hard. That's one thing I'll It is, though, eh? It is hard. And when I shit on people, I'm like, well, let's see me do better, and I can't. So
I think you can. I think you could have done Punch Up on that script and it would have been a better movie for it.
Nah, because remember, they got to be things kids get. And kids' jokes are hard, man. You got to do a nut shot or two, which they did about four in this film.
They did, but they gave more to Rebel Wilson.
It's a good gag. It's a good gag.
I only remember the James Corden nut shot.
And there was one at the end where she whips the bad guy with the...
Oh, yeah. Two nut shots.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Yeah. I don't know. I enjoy the reading of it as a kid's film. So you are convinced that their intention was to make a kid's film?
Yeah, and this is another great thing about the 70s. Because I was a kid of the 90s, but like I watched 80s and 70s stuff. You know, it takes a while to get stuff VHS in New Zealand or whatever. Because H&R Puff and stuff was really old and stuff like that. But the sexual element was key in kids' programming back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, I'm barely joking there. Like, it seemed to constantly come up. I think just because the actors get bored. And there's no one hornier than kids on children's... like, actors, sorry. Not kids, sorry. Edit that out. There's no one hornier than adult actors on children's programming. Far out.
There is no one hornier than
kids. To each other? Do you mean, like, hosts of kids' shows?
Yeah, like, I mean, the times I've appeared on kids' shows in New Zealand...
You've been horny.
No, not at all. No. I can see how this could be edited to make me look immoral. All right? No.
You're totally right. I think they get bored and frustrated, and you have to be so clean and good in front of the kids that you almost, out of a teenage rebellious streak, kind of go quite the other way when you're just with the other hosts of appropriate age.
Totally. And maybe this is a cliche almost, but like it's so much more dirtier off screen, and the jokes are so much more adult than they are in any other. And on a normal adult show, we make dirty jokes on stage. You're normal off, you're just normal people off stage. Talk about normal life, but the kids on the, no, not the kids. The adults on the kids' shows, I'm so sorry, are weird people. That's what I'm saying.
You did right. Do you,
that's what you were saying.
Yeah.
And you had to wade through calling kids horny to
I
get
told
there.
You before I came on the show that I have ability to work myself into holes. It's like I just don't talk about race stuff or anything like that.
Can I say something quickly, which is I would love to see the director's commentary of Cats.
Oh, yes.
What they were
thinking.
Yeah.
I would love to just be in the room with Tom Hooper while he walks us through every moment. Like,
man,
however he presents it.
I've been looking for interviews with him after the release and they don't exist.
That's pretty amazing. Like, you're going to press for this? No. But, okay, the base material is so weird.
Absolutely. And it only just works as a musical. Musical theatre is a confusing, magical format where we can suspend a lot of disbelief for bullshit. Yeah. But film, as I've said before, is a very literal format, and you can't go that crazy.
So I've always
lose everyone.
Mr. Mistopheles is normally the highlight of the show besides Memories.
Right.
Where it's like a big number with a lot of dancers in the background, and he is the man. Like, he's normally in amateur productions, he's normally wearing a leather jacket to display he's the man. He struts out with total confidence, and it kind of annoyed me in this one that they made it the opposite. He was like no confidence, he was a loser.
Yeah.
But that made him better for the love triangle because he beat out the alpha man, right? It was
I don't think that Robbie Fairchild's the alpha in
this
group.
That's what it was.
He's the facilitator. He does all of the admin. He fucking prints out the sheets that people need to sign and stuff. He's not an alpha.
He was the leader, and I don't know. I don't know what alpha means. That was just what I was trying. He was the leader, as well as me.
Yeah.
Anyway, and he was the obvious love interest, and somehow the nerd, the magic loser, won. Because back when this was written in the 80s, magic was cool, and David Copperfield was the coolest guy in the world. And now in 2019, it's the butt of jokes. So they unfortunately they were cowards.
Okay.
Oh, whatever year it is. They were cowards, and they didn't stick to the idea that magic is still cool, because it should be. He should come out like the man.
Well,
with a leather jacket.
To be fair, McCavity is presented as absolutely the man. He is portrayed by the sexiest man alive, according to People magazine, 2019, Idris Elba, and he's fucking naked for like portions of the film.
Yeah, that was weird. You did. I hate to do lame jokes that people just do on Twitter, but like, you did want to see some wang in those scenes. Like, you were expecting it.
Yeah, because
it's the way the camera worked or something.
It's because you were absolutely seeing Idris Elba's everything else. You were seeing his body, and then, like a Ken doll, they had just flattened the mold.
Yeah, and for balance, I thought the same thing with, was it Rebel Wilson's scenes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought the same thing there, where there was just weird crotch shots.
Yeah.
And, like, you there should be something
you
there.
You wanted to see her vagina.
No, I don't know, man. I didn't want to see it, but like you,
they show you
weird,
where
there's
it would
not
be.
Something there. Yeah, just don't do. Use different shots. It's all CGI. You can figure. Oh,
totally.
It's like oh,
because you. Yeah, you. No, I'm totally with you, because what they're doing is anatomically showing you where something should be.
Yeah.
But there is nothing.
Yeah. Okay. If you went to a Ronald McDonald show for kids in the car park of a McDonald's, right? And there was a scene where Ronald McDonald.
I just like to say. I love this. Whatever follows.
So, Ronald McDonald's got white skin. So I'm guessing there's a scene.
His face the two white. Things you're afraid of are coming across as a racist or a pedophile, and you're immediately making up a metaphor on the fly, which involves Ronald McDonald in a car park and distinguishing the fact he has white skin.
I'm there, all right, I'm there. Okay, and the scene is the hamburgers seeing the burgers, yep. And Grimace and Birdie are there, and Ronald McDonald's having a shower, and the kids enjoy it when there's a scene where... The burglar, because he's a cheeky, the Hamburglar, steals, this is, joke makes sense to kids. He steals away the curtain and Ronald McDonald is naked. And I was just thinking, because Ronald McDonald wears, he wears tights. Yes, this makes sense. Yes. You're laughing at me, this makes sense.
But I'm kind of with Monty on this, the edifice you've constructed to get to this point.
Ronald McDonald's face is painted white like a clown, right?
Yes.
So that makes you think that his whole body, when you see him naked, is all white as well.
Yep.
And he's very skinny and naked, and you obviously see his bum, because it's a kids' show.
Sure.
And say he turned around to the audience and some, I don't know what, this is, I made a bad example here.
Keep
but
going.
The point is, if for whatever reason, you got to that big joke that you get to in every kind of adult style comedy show, where you get to the moment where the man is covering his genitals with his hands in a pantomime, but then there's the moment where he takes his hands away. Imagine if they got to that scene and there was just nothing there. There was just a white mound. That would be horrific. And that's what they did.
That is what they did with Idris Elba.
But McDonald's doesn't do that because they're a family organisation and they have dignity.
Yeah. Way to bring
so
we're
going to make sure you got the option to get that McDonald's money.
Yeah.
Can I tell you my funniest moment? And it struck me every time, but I haven't brought it up yet. And it's from James Corden.
Yeah.
A man I'm on the record as hating.
Yeah.
He's on the scales. There's going to be a big trapeze trip where he's on one end of the seesaw and another cat's going to dive on and project him into the air for his acrobatic move.
Yeah.
But unfortunately... Buster for Jones is a big fat cat, and so when the other cat jumps on the other side, he doesn't move an inch.
Yeah,
they stop the song. It goes to him. He breaks and he says, "You know, how dare you show me up? You know, I'm sensitive about my weight." And then he goes, "Now gather up some other," and looks at the camera, takes a beat, and goes, "Cats," and try again. And it is, I reckon, the single funniest. Like, it's the best wink to camera.
Yeah,
because it is. Whether intentional or not, truly a moment where the movie realizes that they might have done goofed on this $100 million CGI budget.
Nah. It
also feels in care. It's like it's the renders the movie or that part of the movie self-aware.
Yes.
So it's like when the mouse in Skimbleshanks' song
I love
says
that mouse
and runs out of the scene. It's like it's just drawing attention. I mean, they do a pretty good job of drawing attention to individual cats. If they spent more of the movie saying... It is a lot of cats. Like, instead of just sort of insinuating it through various different abstract pieces of song and dance. Also, I wanted to talk about something because Sonic got fucking roasted for this. And the Cats trailer, when it released it, also got roasted. But all of the cats, and I suppose this is in keeping with the human hands and feet, but they've all got human teeth.
Yes.
And I'd love to know what you'd think about if they maybe gave the cats... cat teeth, yeah. And said, would that improve or detract?
No, they made the right call.
Does Judi Dench really have teeth that bad?
Yeah, they're quite...
They're really noticeably bad at the end because it's a real close up.
Yeah.
And I thought it was what you'd expect a cat to have, I guess. Yeah. Or cat versions
a
of that.
Cat to
do,
have
you know
bad
what,
human
do you know
teeth.
What it is? Because you see it with Ian McKellen as well. It's particularly these older, like, amazing British actors. They got bad teeth.
Yeah.
And you look at all the American actors and it's like, yeah, perfect teeth, boring.
That was my funniest, trying to be funny. And I think I genuinely laughed at one moment. It was Ian McKellen just before his scene, he's just there just licking some milk. It's just an old legendary actor just licking some milk. Like, it was pathetic.
And did you feel for him?
No, I thought he's having a laugh for some kids that are going to enjoy this.
Nice.
And so that's what I thought about all of them. I thought when Idris Elba, I thought the most pathetic one was Idris Elba. Like, I was like, that's the guy where, like, he's supposed to be a legend and him doing this character is ridiculous. But then I'm like, he's trying to entertain some kids. Maybe he's
not
kids.
A legend. He's basically, he's like,
oh,
he's,
I don't know.
He's a tier above Jason Statham, you know?
Yeah, okay,
no,
I don't
he's
know.
A few tiers above Jason Statham.
Yeah, but he's in the pantheon of, like, he's an action movie star. He's not Ian McKellen. He's not Sir Ian McKellen.
I don't think I've ever seen him in anything. I don't even know if he's been in a movie. He's just a guy they used to race bait people in tabloid heroes to say he might be James Bond. That's his main role. Oh, no, I'm being racist by belittling. Don't talk about it. Don't talk to me anymore. Someone else do talking.
Okay, well, what did you think of Ian McKellen's meow, 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 meow? Do you remember that bit?
Again, I was just like, he's doing a joke for kids. It's fine.
You've really brought a...
thank you.
A new spin, just in that your total belief that you obviously abided for the entirety of the film, and it seems to be unshakable that this is a kid's movie.
I like how you guys are like, oh, they've stuffed up the market and they know who they're marketing it to. No, they just, the marketers don't care. There's like two different organizations. Like, the director doesn't say who he's going to market to. The marketing department just tries.
If you've got $100 million on the line, fucking...
You coordinate.
You coordinate, exactly.
No, you don't.
You send emails to each other, guy. You send emails. You get in a room once.
I don't think you do. I think the director would have wanted it one way. It's like, it's a fun kids show with actors embarrassing themselves a little bit. And the marketing department's like, fuck it. We're going to play up James Corden for some reason.
I don't think Tom Hoover set out to make a fun kids movie.
Of course he did.
Where the actors embarrassed themselves.
That's what he did. And that's what he achieved. And
Mission
accomplished.
No. That is not what he set out to do.
Why do you think he went
to make an Oscar-winning director who has staked his name as being able to...
Do you think he's trying to make it Oscar with us? No, he wanted...
He absolutely was.
Of course he fucking was.
No, he wasn't. You guys are off your face.
Now, Guy, I can tell you for real that he was, and that's why it came out a little bit earlier than it should have, because they were trying to hit the mark both for the film to get... They were.
You guys are reading too much Twitter, man. There's no way.
No. It's true. He was editing it 24 hours before it premiered, and it was because they needed it to get out so it could be eligible for Best Picture and so that Taylor Swift could be eligible for Best Original Song.
You do not funnel $100 million into a movie that is for kids without explicitly marketing that movie to children.
Okay. Rewind 10 steps. Yep. All right. I do agree with the Oscar thing then. They're trying to win Best Song or Best Special Effects. Of course, get it in there. But they're not trying to win Best Picture or Best Actor.
You don't reckon?
No. But it's meant to be a prestige accomplishment. Like, on the back of Les
Mis. How much money did it make? It probably smashed it.
It's lost 40 million. Okay.
I happen to be wrong in that. You guys are propping it up this week. I had a conspiracy theory I was thinking.
We certainly are propping it up.
Have you guys been paid to do this? Because if I was the marketers...
My
answer to that is, meow.
We are paying an exorbitant amount of money to do this.
Actually crazy. Guy's just got back from the States. He's still getting his feet on the ground. I'm in not a great patch at the moment, and we've just shoved hundreds of dollars at this.
We didn't broker a deal with Rialto. The closest we got was buying the multiple pass movies, which save us $3 a ticket per screening.
I just to throw it out there for a second, if I was marketing this film and I was like, okay, it's not going the way we hoped everyone would just be a broad family film, and like the negative reviews are hurting it mildly.
Yeah.
So as a result, we're going to go the other way and try and turn it into a cult hit because it's so bad.
Yeah.
And my brother described that he was in New York City and he said he had to leave the screening just because it was too piss-takey with everyone yelling and laughing at the screen, like The Room.
That's a shame.
And it was not that bad.
What, was he upset?
Nah, because Paul's a musician and he loves music. He's been in Cats, for God's
sake. He wasn't offended. He was just like annoyed. When you were talking and laughing through the movie... And you're
allowed to in Cats.
You're allowed
to in Cats. You're allowed to in this version of Cats.
You were, and I was a little bit too. And Guy Williams, you were right to shush us a bit because we got a bit loud.
Memories are sacred.
For the sole reason that there were kids in the theatre. All right, you got to respect
that.
And
an old lady by herself.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't see why that's a sad picture. The old lady chose to leave the house and go and watch Cats by herself. That sounds like exactly what the fuck she wanted to do. Amazing afternoon she had.
We were dickheads when we walk in there and we're like 30-year-old men and we're like here to laugh about it and take the piss out of this movie that they're there to sincerely see.
Undoubtedly, we are treating the cinema as our lounge and are very disrespectful and bad audience members. But look at the fucking source material.
It's a kid's film. It's fine. It's not that far. Oh, it's fine. Yeah.
Can I read you the lyrics for Old Deuteronomy number? That Judi Dench sort of says instead of sings
for most of it,
called The Moments of Happiness, because I have been very struck by the meaninglessness of the words every time.
That's what that, yeah.
The moments of happiness, we had the experience, but missed the meaning. An approach to the meaning restores the experience. In a different form, beyond any meaning, we can assign to happiness. The past experience, revived in the meaning, is not the experience of one life only, but of many generations, not forgetting something that is probably quite
ineffable.
Ineffable.
Fuck. That has got to be one of the lowlights that drags that
song. I lost
song.
Track, but I was trying to keep tallies on how many times it's said in the film, that word ineffable.
I actually turned to you after that song and said, what does it mean? And you burst out in hysterical laughs.
No, because the film is just nonsense, like, really. And there's a few jokes in there that make sense, and there's a few bits that are, oh yeah, it's a vague observation about cats. They take a spoon and they leave it out on the grass.
Do cats do that?
They do that. They nick stuff. They move it around.
Who wrote it? It's written by a legend, right?
T.S. Eliot wrote it.
But you do. Guy brings up a good point, and he's really shot a hole in my argument that I don't know if cats do take. I assume cats take spoons out there. I've had two cats and never
but
seen
like,
and every, cats do.
And everything that you could choose from the movie, that's your example of something cats do.
So what? No. But that was just like an observation where I was like, oh, that kind of changed the reality for me a little bit, because I was like, is it T.S. Eliot?
Yeah.
Whoever wrote this was like, he probably wrote this just as a bit of a throwaway, just to the kids, and did not expect that hundreds of years later, people would be producing it with $100 million. It's like, it was not supposed to have this.
Fuck, I would love to go into the cinema with Tom Hooper and T.S. Eliot and just watch them enjoy it together.
Oh, and boy, they would enjoy it indeed.
Did you?
T.S. Eliot, Andrew Lloyd Webber, and Tom Hooper walk into a bar and have a lovely time because they all agree cats is fantastic.
Who do you identify? Okay, so I'm going to put a cat on you, Guy Williams.
Yeah.
But first, do you self-identify as any of these cats?
I guess I thought I physically resembled Mr. Mistopheles. Definitely Mr. Mistopheles, yeah. And I got the girl in the end, so double. Well, I got a nuzzle, which I assume was like cat. Love.
It is our belief that whenever the cats are compelled to dance outside of their own control, that isn't accompanied to a song, that is a sort of euphemism for a full on
copulation.
No,
orgy.
No,
and
no,
the moment, yes,
no, get your heads out of the gutters.
Absolutely not. And when they perform the big song and dance number after they first enter the Egyptian,
nah,
yeah. You listen when they first enter the Egyptian, they perform a big song and dance number. It goes for about 3 minutes. They are all out of their fucking minds and bodies, dancing in synchronicity beneath the moon. And at the end, they all start performing their dances around Judi Dench. Dame Judi Dench. That represents the cumulative effort of those cats to make sure that Dame Judi Dench, that the orgy ends on a big cum for Dame Judi Dench. And if you look at her fucking face,
if you look
at her face, they achieve it.
And
she abuses that trust in her power by singing a song.
No.
You're lucky you got to come, old lady. Shut up.
No, I hate when people do that and they take children's films and they try and see
some adults. It's not a kid's film!
It is. That's fucked.
I'm
my
off
Ronald
the rails.
McDonald thing was normal and this is weird.
It
You're
wasn't.
Weird, I'm normal.
I don't know, man.
Okay.
Varying levels of fucked.
Yeah, so I mean, I disagree with everything you've said with all my heart and it makes me angry and offended. I will say this, and I don't want to bring this up because I hate like comedy cliche things. Like everyone's like, do you know what's a funny thing? Furries or whatever. People who are into dressing up in furry and having sex or whatever. But I did wonder like how this relates to furries and are they into this or do they hate this?
I would be very curious to know about how the film's been received in the furry community.
Have you guys talked about that? You must talk about this every podcast.
What, furries? Never brought it up.
Really?
No one's brought it up.
As much as you'd hate to bring it up, you're actually the first person who thought to bring
it up. Okay, well, that's interesting.
I feel like maybe they reject it because it's CGI, you know?
Yeah,
like it's not
it doesn't feel authentic to me. But then again, you know, if you start gearing technology, like it's a pretty exciting piece of progress in furry porn. This movie's developed this new piece of technology that could represent
All you need to do is unmound the wangers and you've got a very high budget.
I'm surprised someone hasn't done it already. But like, yeah, I'm not. It's not something I want to see. I don't think the films. I think it's like got awkward sexual tension, but I don't think it's a sexual.
I think
metaphor.
Also that your body is more like Gus the theater cat.
Oh, thank you. Is that which one's that? Oh, the
he's
old guy.
He's decrepit as
the
hell.
Old guy, the big button.
No, but he's long and he's lean.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm not saving anything. I'm just telling you what I think.
You thought you'd offended me, but luckily you brought it around with friends again. You are lucky, mate. I was about to storm out.
But no, are you a good dancer?
No.
Yeah.
Very poor.
So he doesn't dance at all.
But he's just an old man who can't dance. I'm magical Mr. Mistopheles.
No. Okay. Yes, okay.
Who are you then?
I'm Skimbleshanks every time.
Oh, Skimbleshanks is the best, and you're not him.
I am.
You're not.
Who am I then? You tell me.
Okay, well, yeah, well, I'm going to say you're the old homeless one who sucks.
Who's that?
The one you said I was, you offensive.
Oh, Gus isn't fucking homeless and he doesn't suck.
He is, he does.
I gave you a good
his
catch.
His whole song is like, I'm old and I'm depressed and I can't get a proper size button for my coat. Okay. Tim, who are you?
I have been donned as Monkstrap, or whatever his name is, Robert Downey III, the main guy.
That's
the
too
guy
much
you
of a
can
the alpha.
In. Yeah. That, nah. Nah. I think all three of us are magical Mr. Mistopheles.
Yeah, I know. But
loser entertainers.
Yeah, that's the hard
who
thing.
Who are trying to do something and failing.
Yeah.
He succeeds!
In the end, he does, yeah.
But it feels like he doesn't. I reckon Judy Dench, Old Deuteronomy found another way to get there. And it was just, it all coincided. And she was like, I'll let him have it.
I liked that. I liked when she showed up.
Did it get you?
It didn't. It wasn't like shivers or anything like that, but I thought it was
that good. Was probably the moment when we saw it. We went on a triple date with two hearts and our respective partners, and that was the moment that Chelsea audibly gasped over the entire cinema audience.
She was so impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's good. And you feel bad. I like when things like that movie get you.
Yeah.
And like it's bad, but it's good.
It's the feeling that I get at that bit of the movie is a chill, but for a completely different reason, because when I hear the victorious bugle that immediately proceeds up, up, up and away,
yeah,
I am so thankful that that's the last song. Okay. Like, I'm just ecstatic
it's
that
not,
we're out of
it's
there.
It's not even the last song, though.
Man, the last bit is spoken word at best. It's not even sensical, and it's delivered down the barrel of a camera in the most bone-chilling fashion.
You're checked out at that point.
I wish I was checked out. I'm scared.
There's no... There's
what, you didn't know that was coming. This is your first time seeing it. What'd you make of Judy Dench eyeballing you as you're
yeah,
preparing
I thought
to
that
leave
was,
the
I
cinema?
I thought it was an accident. I did that. I've done that before in sketches on television where I've looked at the camera and I've been told that you're not supposed to do that. That's frowned upon in the acting world. That's a bit of behind the actor's studio.
She delivered an entire
behind the actor's studio.
So they have the actor's studio where the actors are, and then round the back, where
Guy Williams. Hey, don't look at the camera.
Oh, good times.
My wife described that moment of Judy Dench describing how you're supposed to address a cat in detail. She was like, "What was up with that cat manifesto?" Yeah.
It was all wrong as well. Like, I liked when she said, and it was funny. I don't know if they thought it was supposed to be funny, but when they just like, it seemed like she was taking the piss. And it's probably a line from the book, but when she was just like,
totally.
So we've met a lot of cats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was like laugh out loud funny, accidentally, because you're like, yeah, that is all we've done.
Guy Williams, you have imbued this series with a delicious new energy. I am so grateful
for
your
me.
Genuine appreciation of the film and the product at large. You know, it's so, we had Brindley on yesterday. She saw the film and she was not taken with it. She's a big fan of the stage production. But it's so nice.
That's marking out her name, though. She's not credible. She's a big fan of the stage production.
Well,
I'm a more credible.
I'm trying to wrap things up without burning too many bridges.
I'm
right
burning
at the end,
bridges,
here.
Baby, behind the actor's studio.
Before we go, I've got to ask, who was your Jellicle choice?
Well, definitely Grisabella. Like, this is a no-brainer. What do you mean? Like, who else could I choose?
Anyone.
Yeah, well, Grisabella. She was the. Who else you didn't choose?
Anyone.
It's the only one. I'm amazed at just how many times we've differed on this, because I was like, I thought it was so clear cut. It's a kids show.
I guess we're viewing it at a half a meter above, like bird's eye view on where you are, and we had to nix Skimbleshanks from contention because he would win every time. That's how much we love him.
You love Skimbleshanks, the railway cat. Yeah, he's the
love
best.
Him.
Yeah, he is the
it's
best.
It's a fucking banger.
But he doesn't need to go up to space, though, anyway.
So. It's not
that
his call. That's McCavity.
It is confusing the way it happens, but that's McCavity's doing.
You think he's won it when he starts going up.
He's
but
ascending.
What's actually happened is McCavity's taken him to the barge on the Thames.
Yeah, I did not. That pullback and reveal did not get me.
You're confused. Imagine the kids.
I'd like to give a huge credit to Jenny Anydots.
Is she your Jellicle choice?
Yeah, begrudgingly. Wow. But I have had her fucking song in my mind. We haven't talked about this at all, Tim. when I lie down in bed, all that is running through my head is different Cat songs. And when I wake up, all I can think of are Cat songs.
Yeah.
This is absolutely destroying me.
I don't know if I heard from you or someone else that Chelsea is not happy about what's going on with you at the moment.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah.
And understandably so. I just can't stop.
I can't believe you've squandered the honeymoon period of you coming back to New Zealand ever so quickly by just singing Andrew Lloyd Webber
songs. I'm still a legend otherwise.
Okay.
I'm just currently being operated by a handful of cats.
Is a musical worse than, because the music will kill you, whereas like, you know, Sex and the City, there's not songs to kill you like that.
It's fucking different, because with a musical, you can't help but get a little drawn in. Well, that's
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
Can't help but get a little drawn in. You can't fully check out.
Yeah.
They keep you up, but also it makes it easier because you've got like markers, you've got very clearly defined chapters. So you go, you can project ahead. You can be like, okay, well, currently we're listening to Jason Derulo, which means just around the corner, we're going to save in a bit of a good time.
Bustopher Jones is my jellical choice. James Corden's delivery of, well, round up some more cats. It got me.
And fair enough, too. I'd say at the end of today that Tim. Not a jellicle.
Nah,
I'm
fuck
so
you,
sorry.
Man. I earned it today. I think I turned up.
You did. You did. Do
okay,
that.
Actually, do you know what?
Yeah.
Jellicle.
Hey!
Guy, this upsets me to tell you, but I think today, not today, nor ever, would you. I think all of your heart wants to be a jellicle. And for that reason,
no.
I think you'll never be a
jellicle. No, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck what you think. I think you guys are both wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm right. And I don't care. I just want to be the opposite of whatever you think I want to be. So I'm
fuck
happy
yeah.
Well, you're
God,
not a
jellicle.
You. You're not
fuck
a jellicle.
You. Thank you for having me on the podcast. I really enjoyed it. So thank you.
I am also not a jellicle.
No, I want to be different. Oh, anyway. You guys are jellicles and I'm not jellicle. And I'm
no, both of us aren't jellicles.
I don't want to know.
Tim is a jellicle. End of podcast. Push the button.
I don't want to
push
the
button. We're both not jellicles. Push the button.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.